Hello and welcome to G.L. Horton's Stage Page. Today is Monday, the 30th of July, 2007. This show should have been posted yesterday. My only excuse for the delay is exhaustion. I was up until 5 a.m. yesterday getting Geraldine on her plane to Columbus. I recorded the interview and the monologue on Saturday, but other obligations and all that, it didn't get done. So, this discussion of what GL hopes to accomplish at the ICWP retreat this year is a day late, with my apologies. Before we get to that, though, Jonathan Donahue has returned and provided several program pieces. The one we'll listen to now is entitled Walter the Warrior. Walter, a well-developed young man, is a therapist who leads men's groups in The Way of the Warrior. I put a link to the script in the chapter art.
Yeah, we bang the drums. We go out in the woods and dance naked around campfires. We do the Robert Bly thing and chant poems, or we howl like wolves. But as far as the battle of the sexes goes, you've misunderstood. The Way of the Warrior is not a glorification of violence. Far from it. It's about courage, yes, but it's about the kind of courage that means facing how things really are and telling the truth about that, telling it how it is. Men growing up in this society get the idea that manliness equals aggression. Sensitivity is weakness, is female, is gay. The only real emotion a man shows is anger. He's dominance personified. Every gesture he makes is a threat. Diss him and he's got to waste you. This trash comes to us from kid culture, where it looks to a kid like strength, like honor and courage, but it's not. It's a mask for fear. Most people fight from fear, instinct kicking in with the old fight-or-flight response. But a warrior moves through fear and comes out beyond it. He's at the point where you can say of him, his strength is as the strength of 10, because his heart is pure. That's the man you want for a mentor. A man of peace, because he has peeled off the masks and faced his fears. Howling like a wolf is how a man reclaims his sensitivity. Of course, yes, to martial arts. One of the subjects I've had to master to lead groups is martial arts. A warrior has to know how to fight and be ready to fight. But the main thing is that the mentor shows you that fighting is a choice made mindfully from a position of balance and freedom. You're not to fight for status or greed or revenge or to prove something, and you're certainly not to fight for yourself. You're not even personally invested in the outcome. I know, it's not easy to explain. That's why there's training. You learn by example and practice, not explanation. I took the warrior training 4 years ago, right after the breakup of a long-term relationship. It worked so far as it helped me get myself back together, and I felt then that becoming a group leader might turn out to be the right path for me. But I could see that I still had issues, and I dropped out for a while. I worked in a New Age bookstore, and I hung out at the beach and the gym. It wasn't until last year that I did my residency. I was worried that it had been too long since my training, but when I saw the other guys who had just come out and were all eager to jump in and apply all the new stuff they'd learned under pressure, I was glad I had the time to let it mellow. Therapy is therapy. It's connected at one end to mysticism, a way of orienting yourself to nature and the universe, getting right with God or the gods. On the other end, it's just a band-aid, a patch-up job for the knocks you've taken going around the block. It's all the same, but every kind is different. The Way of the Warrior isn't just patch-up. We claim that a guided encounter with the archetypes lifts the individual up a level to where he has access beyond his social situation and his own hang-ups. But still, the process has to start where the individual is now, and deal. So when people ask me, what's a men's group like? I say, what's a kid's play group like? What's a sewing circle? There are as many kinds as there are kinds of men. The makeup of the people in it determines the group. Of course, if I'm leading it, it'll be somewhat like me. How can I get away from that? So I warn the guys, use your bullshit detectors. I don't ever BS on purpose, but BS comes out of a man's mouth as naturally as it comes from a bull's behind. Eternal vigilance.
Jonathan will be back next week to tell us what he's been doing for the past many months. And we will have a piece from the script of Partners that we read. Why Partners? A small theater in England sent an email to g.l.horton@mindspring.com asking permission to do the play. We'll have more details in a couple of weeks, after Geraldine returns from Ohio. Speaking of Ohio, GL and I just spoke of that trip. Geraldine, you're hopping on a jet plane and leaving me. Where are you going?
I'm going to Columbus, Ohio for the ICWP annual summer playwrights retreat.
Okay, what are you going to be working on?
Oh, well, now that's an interesting question. I haven't really decided. I have four projects in progress, and I'm going to take all four of them and see which ones I get inspired by. I have the mammoth Susanna Sentley replay that I did more than an act of last time I went. And at first I thought that I was going to get all my research materials together and push that through to completion this year. But a couple of other projects have taken precedence.
Such as?
Well, the Mumbet that I've been working on that we talked about last week.
Yes.
It's shaping up and I have notes, and we thought it might be a good idea for me to have some of the actors there read what I've got so far and give us some feedback. What I'm doing is working on the separate pieces of the mosaic, and then I'll fit them into their final form and we'll frame them with music, and then we'll alter them to fit the shape that it looks like the whole piece is going to be. But at this point, we've almost decided what is going to be in it, and I've written four pieces, and it seems to me that there's five more to do. So maybe I'll do some of those five, or maybe I will just revise the four that I've already written with the help of some feedback from there.
And what about the play?
The granny play. Well, the big advantage of working on the granny play at the ICWP retreat is that connected with the theater department there is a senior theater group. So I have actors, experienced actors of the right age range there.
Some of whom may be members.
Yeah. But anyway, they're people who can give the kind of feedback that people of the generation I'm writing about are most qualified to give. Plus, there are people of other ages, too, there to be part of the group that listens to the play and says, "What do you mean? Are old people that different from me that they would say that?" and somebody will say, "No, they're not. She's making it up." Or, "Yes, of course they are. You know, if you didn't go through World War II and Vietnam, you don't know what you're talking about."
Well, at least Vietnam. Yes, but definitely Vietnam. That's three. What's the fourth?
The fourth is a play that I wrote very quickly. That it's called Good Practice, and it's about a woman who is found near death in her very, very messy apartment, and taken off to the hospital and brought back to something resembling life, and is now faced with being told that she no longer has any control over her life. She has to go to some kind of a nursing home or rehabilitation facility, and all the choices about how she will live and what she can do are being made by others.
And of course she's thrilled by this.
She's madder than hell. Steam is coming out of her ears, and the healthier she is, the madder she's going to be. And I dashed this off very quickly and gave it to June and Rosanna Alfaro to read, and they were very pleased by it, and they gave me a little bit of feedback. There's a couple of things that I can pretty easily fix, so I'm hoping to just fix that. This is about a half an hour play, I think.
Yes, so but it doesn't sound like it's a half hour of work.
I hope it isn't. What do you mean? Oh, you mean you think it'll take me a long time to do a little fix on it?
If it's a little fix, it might only take you a half hour. If you're going to do some major work on it, it could take you all week.
It could, but I'm hoping to give it less than a day.
Okay, if you give it less than a day for each of them, that'll leave you three extra days to do nothing.
Three extra days to do whichever one turns out to be so inspiring that I can't help but give it more time. Now, there'll be more concentration on work this time, I think, because the workshops that we had in the past don't seem to be scheduled this time. We're going to do our own work and talk about our own work rather than having visiting experts tell us about what's going on in Columbus. I'm not sure the philosophy behind it, but of course I'm pleased because last year there were several very interesting presentations made that I'd already heard. And I took notes when I heard it the first time. So although when it started, it didn't occur to me that, yes, I've heard this all before, as the presentation went along, I thought, oh my goodness, yes, I have heard this before. And I even remember it now that I'm reminded, and I probably would remember it if I look at the notes, because it all makes perfect sense, and it was well organized, so it's there available for me to remember. And as there are more people coming back for a second or third time, it will get harder to do a unique presentation if you limit it to what's going on in Columbus or at the Ohio State campus. But I do know one thing that's happening this year, and that is that on Tuesday there will be a reading of Vicki Cheatwood's The Last Time Cooper Took Midge Fishing, one of the pieces that Alan Woods presented as a reading to mark International Women's Day in March. Local actors John Coon, who's presently playing King Lear at the Outdoor Shakespeare Festival in Schiller Park, and Kate Blair Wilhelm and Tatiana Vasanoff will perform this play for us and for Vicki to hear it, and we'll learn from that.
Now, we've met Vicki before. I mean, I wasn't with you last year when you went to this thing out in OSU, but she was at Galway with us?
Yes, and Vicki is wonderful company.
Many of these ladies are interesting company. It's amazing you get any work done.
Yes, and I had a lovely time last year reading a new play of Vicki's that she brought, that I no sooner got off the plane and into the classroom than she handed me this monologue and said, "This is a Dallas woman." And I thought, I can't remember what Dallas sounds like. And I would have said, "Do Dallas for me, Vicki, but I didn't have time. I just faked it. But it was a wonderful monologue, and I had a great time reading it. So I'm really looking forward both to her company, because she's a marvelous raconteur, and to seeing more of her work. And I'll start seeing her right away, because she, too, is flying in on Sunday morning. Cheryl Connor, whom I just met, who lives here in the Newton area, who is proposing a new playwrights group just for Newton playwrights. And she's going to be coming from Boston to the ICWP retreat, too. And we're all landing around the same time on different planes.
Share a cab home.
We will either share a cab or Alan will meet us and we'll get to know one another.
Sounds like fun. So you're going to be going there. That'll be 7 days, right? So you'll be coming back right afterwards?
No. I'm going to go to my hometown of Toledo, Ohio to visit my best friend in high school, who has invited me to come, and together we're going to go to our high school reunion. And this is not from the Toledo High School, neither DeVilbiss or Scott, which were the Toledo High Schools, the big high schools. But right before I started high school, my parents moved out to the country, to Genoa, Ohio. And Genoa, Ohio had a combined high school with Clay Center, Ohio. And all the people who ever went to that high school are invited to this reunion. So it includes my brother, and my brother and I are going to go together to our high school reunion, along with my friend Marge and his friend, whom he hasn't seen in many years. And we're going to look around the town and see what we remember.
Now, for me, that sort of thing would lead to huge psychic trauma, but I take it you're looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to it, not without trepidation.
Will you recognize anyone?
Marge says that I will. That it's surprising how many people you can recognize even though you haven't seen them for 40 years. But I wonder.
Yes, I went to my high school reunion a couple of years back, and I recognized some of them, and there were some that I didn't even want to recognize. They looked old. Old, I say.
Well,
scary.
Writer's past is this deep well from which you draw things to write about. And losing touch with a big part of your past makes you feel kind of impoverished. So whether this is a pleasant experience or a terrifying experience or a disappointing experience,
it should all be
grist for the mill. Whether I'm going to write a warm-hearted play about how wonderful it is to see how the people you had your doubts about in high school turned out, or a dreadful play about how life is just like high school. Isn't that the most terrible thing imaginable? Or a play about death. When I talked to someone I hadn't talked to in many, many years, one of the things she told me was how many members of our tiny little high school class have already passed on.
Captain of the football team.
A lovable nerd.
Nerds don't die. They just smell that way.
Several, silly thing. Several friends whom I would not expect to die so young. We're all still young.
Yes, I feel young. Thank you. Have a good trip.
You can subscribe to this podcast through the iTunes Store or your Yahoo or Google accounts. If you'd rather not subscribe, you can go straight to glhorton.podomatic.com or to the player on the playwright's page at www.stagepage.info/podcast. Any of these options provides full access to all the shows we've done. Going to the playwright site offers the additional advantage of allowing you to read the scripts for the monologues we perform for you. Use of these monologues is free for use in the classroom or in auditions, with attribution, of course. Please tell your friends where you found them, and let us know you are using them. Send emails to g.l.horton@mindspring.com.
That's our show for this week. Sorry you had to wait for it. More good stuff scheduled for next week. Until then. This production is the creation and property of David Meyer in association with G.L. Horton and the www.stagepage.info website. It may be redistributed in whole or in part only with credit given and with notice sent to David Meyer at mac.com. Our music is from the Free Play Music Library, license granted through Apple's .Mac program. We'll be right back.